That's always an exciting time. Right? And as we were walking around, they already had the back-to-school sales out. Oh, can you believe that? All kinds of pens and paper and the 99-cent bin. And my wife said to me, "Does that make you sad?" And if I was being honest, just a little. But, you know, it gets you thinking about fall. Fall's coming. And there's some fun things about the fall. Most of you that know me well enough know that I like spending a little bit of time in the woods in the fall. That's one thing that comes up. And another thing that some people get really excited about, and after last year's Super Bowl, I could see becoming a little more excited about football. But the fall, for some folks, is football season is coming. And as we think about the parable of the sower, I want to kind of talk through that parable with you with the idea of trying to be a good receiver. You know, the few football games I have watched in my life, the receiver is pretty important. I'm getting lots of, "Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about," but nice try nods. But there's a few different types of receivers that we see in the parable of the sower today. A few different types of soils that Jesus points out. You know, if you go and you try to find some theological books on how to preach a sermon, there's lots of them out there. Most of them are really boring, okay? There aren't very many books on how to be a good receiver, on how to be a good listener, and how to receive the Word of God, either from a sermon or from the actual scriptures, from the Bible itself, which is way better anyways. But today we're going to focus on this parable of the sower and try to figure out what kind of receivers we are. You know, this is actually the first parable in Scripture, recorded in Scripture, that Jesus taught. And it kicks off a whole series of parables throughout the rest of Matthew's Gospel. And the word parable means to lay beside. And so it has this idea of laying two things beside each other in order to convey a spiritual truth. So yeah, Jesus is talking about, you know, sowing seed and the kinds of soil that it falls on. But then later on, thankfully, he lays it out for us and explains exactly what he meant. He's not always so generous in all of his parables to say, "Okay, here it is. Here it is, folks. Here's how it really supposed to sound." So these parables are designed to be something that connects with people that they would understand, something about normal life, but that also has a second meaning of spiritual truth that comes with it. They were meant to bring meaning to those who were serious about listening to the Lord. But for the folks that didn't want to understand or refused to listen, these things were really hard to understand. So, before we get started with the different types of receivers, let's just put this in a little bit of cultural context. So, Jesus is teaching, right? And it's very possible that there were some fields nearby. Who knows? You know, you don't have to drive very far in Vermont to find some fields where someone's sowing some seed. And Jesus lays the foundation of this parable as something that everybody of the day can understand. And then he moves into something they don't in order to reveal some spiritual truth. So everybody back then understood how seed was sown. A farmer would have a leather pouch over his shoulder filled with some seed, and he would walk down paths in the field slinging out seed. It's kind of like the way we probably plant grass seed. I don't know. I don't have one of those things that you push and it has a spinning disc and it lays the seed for you. I'm usually out there with a broken coffee cup or a hand going like this, throwing the grass seed. And, you know, the seed ends up in all sorts of soil. It ends up where you want it, in the good soil. It ends up in your path where you might not want it. It ends up, if you're me, it ends up in your deck by accident. And it just kind of goes all over the place. And some of the seed grows better than other seed, depending upon where it lands. So we've already read, and we've read in the scriptures today, what happened when the farmer sowed the seed. So now we're going to kind of take a look at verses 19 to 23 to see how Jesus ties each type of soil to a receiver. There's the football right So here's the first receiver. All right? Okay. So this is the interception. Okay? So fields in Palestine were relatively small, and they were usually separated by a pretty narrow path that was used by farmers and animals. And while the farmer was casting the seed, some of it would fall onto this hard path. And the seed really couldn't penetrate the ground there. So it just laid there out in the open, and the birds would come by, and they would intercept it. Right? They would eat it, the seed would be destroyed. In our culture, it wouldn't be any different than if you tried to throw seed on the Brownsville Road. Granted, there are potholes in places that would grow grass. However, for the most part, that's true. You know, I tried to plant some grass seed this past week, and wouldn't you know it, despite putting up a fence, the guinea fowl, the chickens, and the rabbits all were attracted to it. And now I have this motley patchwork of grass coming up in this area. It's amazing how quickly the seed that you intend for good gets intercepted. So it's kind of like the quarterback throwing the ball to the receiver, but the receiver's kind of casual in his approach, or is looking off in another direction, and the ball gets intercepted. It represents those who are able to hear the word of God, but it has no impact on their life. It may be that they're stuck deep in their sin or in their ways, so much so that they refuse to believe. It may be that they've lived life a certain way for so long that they are calloused and cold towards the things of God, and they refuse to hear. They don't understand the word of God. They don't understand the connection between its claims and their own personal life. In Luke, where this same parable exists, the result of this, it says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Another interesting thing to think about this type of soil is that it's become hard because it's so well traveled. When people get used to doing things a certain way, it becomes a habit, it becomes ingrained in their lives, it's the way they've always done it, it's what they've always believed, what they've always thought. But the problem is the majority of what we do when we're not following Christ and following Scripture is based off of man's opinion, not the Word of God. So for some, they've traveled down this road going through the motions for so long that their hearts are hardened and they don't receive the Word of God. So the next type of receiver, Butterfingers. Right? Okay? I have a hard time not laughing when I see this kind of thing happen in a game. I don't know. There's so much hope on the person's face, and then there's this look of horror as they... So this type of soil is pretty common in Palestine. You know, this looks like it's going to be really good and productive, but if you dig just a little bit deeper, you realize that the soil is really shallow. It's just a shallow layer of soil covering up a bunch of rocks, and there's no depth. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been working on a food plot for my other fall events that I do to be able to plant some clover and things. My wife's already rolling her eyes at me. And there's places where the soil is only this deep over the rocks, and I know nothing that I throw there is really going to grow. It's going to spring up, and then the minute we get some heat and a little bit less water, it's going to die. It's kind of like the quarterback, right? He hits the receiver right in the numbers. It looks really good. The receiver runs the correct route, but it slips right out of his hands. And everybody watching goes, right? It's painful. And so this is the kind of soil that represents someone who maybe hears the word of God and gets excited about it and responds to it. But for whatever reason, even though they've made some kind of profession of faith or want to start walking with Christ at the first hint of trouble, they walk away from it. They lose their grip on it. And their faith slips away from their grasp. Leads us to the question, did they ever really have the faith to begin with? Did they ever really catch the ball to begin with? If there's no fruit evident in their life, when someone makes a profession of faith or wants to start to follow Christ, but there's no lasting change, there's no evidence that there's a new creation in Christ, it's kind of like the seed that falls on the thin soil and sprouts up, and then it's scorched by the sun. How are we at living Monday through Saturday? Sunday's easy, right? Well, maybe for some of us. Sunday, we get up, we can come to church, we know how we're supposed to behave and act and that kind of thing, but do you find that your faith drifts during the week? Do you need another watering partway through the week? Do you need another touch point? More fellowship with folks? Do you need to be reading the Word more and prayer more so that your faith and the Word of God that's planted in your heart continues to grow and doesn't wither in the face of the cares of the world? Okay, here's the third receiver, the fumble. This is a good one. The ball goes running down the field because someone didn't do their job and everybody's scrambling after it. It's always a fun moment, right? So this is kind of similar to the previous soil. It looks nice on the surface, right? But underneath are the thorns and the thistles that rob the soil of water and the nutrients that cause the crops to fail. You know, so this is the receiver who makes the catch, but he can't hang on to it because he's holding it too loosely or thinks too lightly of it. Has anybody seen the movie The Program? Yeah, Mike has. Okay, hardcore football guy here. Okay. So there's a scene where there's this young running back and he has trouble holding on to the ball. And so the coach makes him carry a football everywhere he goes, to class, to lunch, to the dorm. And he challenges the team to try to knock the ball loose from his arms, no matter where he is and no matter what he's doing. And the whole point was to get him to hang on to the ball no matter what. And we need to do the same thing with God's Word. We've got to hang on to that. We've got to carry it with us everywhere we go. Because the world is going to challenge us. They are going to try to make us fumble God's Word. In Luke's account of this parable, we read that these folks that are fumbling the Word like this are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So these are kind of the people who are so distracted with the things of the world that it causes them to fumble the seed, which is God's Word. There's a story of a young woman who received a proposal of marriage from her boyfriend. And he says, "I want you to know that I love you more than anything else in the world. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I'm not rich. I don't have a yacht or a Porsche like Johnny Brown, but I love you with all my heart." She thought about it for a moment and said, "I love you too, but tell me more about Johnny Brown." So have you ever noticed somebody who started out really on fire for God, but then that fire was quickly put out by distractions? If we're not careful, we can totally fumble the ball. We can be distracted. It doesn't take 5 minutes out there in the world to begin to be able to see things and hear things and experience things that are going to distract us from the Word of God. So I ask, are you distracted by the things of the world? We can't serve both the world and God. We have to make a choice. And so the last one is the touchdown, right? So look at the progression of these four scenarios, okay? The first receiver doesn't catch the seed at all, right? It gets intercepted. The second looks as though he might catch it, but it immediately slips out of his hands. The third receiver might be able to make the catch, and he does, and he even takes a couple of steps, but then he's knocked away by the surrounding distractions of the world. Jesus, in his parable, saves the best for last. And this is the only soil that actually bears any fruit. This is the receiver that catches the Word of God and holds on to it. Luke puts it this way, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So according to Jesus, bearing fruit is the mark of a disciple. someone who's actively walking with the Lord is going to end up bearing fruit. In John 15, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples." In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you probably know the fruit of the Spirit. Can anybody name them all? No. You can. You want to use it for us? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yes. Good job. Yes, it's a song stuck in my head. Yeah. So those are the fruits of the Spirit. When we allow the Word of God to be implanted in our hearts, when we nurture it, when that seed is able to grow, it will bring forth fruit. And those are some of the kinds of fruits that it will bring forth. So Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Don't be the receiver who lost focus, allowing the enemy to intercept God's message for you. Don't be the receiver who's in the right place at the right time and allow the seed to slip out of your hands. Don't be the one who catches the seed, takes a few steps, but then lets it get snatched because he held on too loosely and got distracted. Hold tight to the Word of God and hang on to it for dear life. So what kind of receiver do you think you are? You know, if you're kind of feeling like there's some areas of your life where you haven't held on to the Word of God the best you could, and you might be close to a fumble or an interception or something like that, you're not stuck in that spot. You're not always going to be the fumbler or the intercepted or anything like that. You can hold on to the Word of God and move forward from here, grasping it and allowing it to be planted in you and grow. It's kind of interesting that only one out of the four types of receivers actually caught and held on to the Word of God. It's kind of like finding good soil. You know, there's an awful lot out there that wants to pull us away from and distract us from the Word of God and what it wants to do in our lives. And so I hope that we'll kind of take this and evaluate ourselves and see if we're being made into disciples. Because, you know, the Lord calls us to make disciples. And that's the main focus in the United Methodist Church right now, is making disciples. And I think they have their heads screwed on straight that we should be making disciples. And it's hard to make disciples if we aren't watering the seed in our own hearts and following the Lord closely and allowing His Word to develop in us. And so I hope it's causing us to focus on some tough questions for ourselves. What kind of receiver are you? How is your heart with the things of God? Is it hardened or is it open to the things of God? Are you a fan of Jesus? Have you truly surrendered your life to Him? Are you distracted and defeated and burdened by sin and the cares of the world? Or are you holding tightly to that seed, to that Word of God, as you go from this place and as you go about your daily life and work? Are you able to hold on to that seed and not allow it to slip from your grasp? So that's my prayer for myself, because I am also human, and my prayer for all of you as well. In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.